This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and happy All Saints Day. Today we celebrate the reality of the saints, you know, who are in heaven, who made it all the way home and receiving their ultimate and eternal reward. Friends, this is our destiny. And the apostles always tell us to keep our eyes on the ultimate goal. You know, even in the world, they say, you know, to be successful, you know, keep the end in view when you're trying to do something. What are you ultimately trying to accomplish? Well, keeping the end in view, our ultimate end, is a really good idea. And, you know, scriptures tells us to, even Psalms tell us to think about our death, which nobody likes to do. It seems kind of morbid and just bad form in the culture, you know, because we don't like to talk about death because most people don't have an answer to it. But the Psalms tell us to think about it and not be afraid of it, you know, and it tells us that life is short. It's a breath. It's a passing shadow. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. If there was no solution to that, that would be a dreadful thing to be thinking about. You know, I can understand why people would run from it. But Christ, as we said yesterday, is the light of the world. And he shows us he's passed from death to life. And the saints are those brothers and sisters in history, those we know that were declared as saints, you know, by the church, but the multitudes, I believe, of other brothers and sisters who made it all the way home. Maybe some time in purgatory, that final purgation, some maybe were martyred and went all the way home that we don't know. We don't know who they are, that is. But they've entered into eternal life with God and the life that Jesus came to give us, sharing in the glory of God. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our justification, that is to deal with the sin problem and the death problem. But he was raised to glory, right? For our glorification. He was exalted, human flesh in the person of Jesus, which was condemned, which was destined for eternal separation from God in the person of Jesus Christ, is raised and exalted into the presence of God, divinized. What Jesus did for us is absolutely mind-blowing. So the saints share in it, but then they also show us, friends, how to live. I talked yesterday about, you know, Jesus' passage, words in John 8 about the light that shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. And Jesus calls us out of the darkened dimension of the world. God created this world and it's good, but there's a fallen dimension, a profoundly impactful fallen dimension in the social, volitional, cultural, political, entertainment realities that are in the world that many, many dimensions of the willed existence and order that human beings bring about, it's not only has its good side, it's also tainted by sin and the fall. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow, the reality of the true condition of the human heart. But what we see is that darkness is a reality in this fallen world, and that Jesus comes to shed light into the world to say, no, here's the real road to the fullness of truth, to ultimate happiness, to defining what goodness is. This is the way to eternal reward. He shed that light and he said, come and follow me. But he said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to let go finally of that thing in the human heart that says, I am my own master. I am the one who dictates what truth is, what happiness is going to be for me. I'm in charge of my own life and I've not come to be someone else's servant. I'm glad if others serve me, but no, I'm my own master. Not thy will be done, but my will be done is that drive of the fallen dimension of your heart and mine. And Jesus comes to make it possible for us to have a new heart, to have a new way, to live a new way of life and to walk in it. So the saints are the ones that heard that call to deny themselves that capacity to be my own master, so to speak, and to humble themselves and to take up their cross and follow him. Jesus said, if you don't want to do that, don't follow me, because this is the way to life. And lots of people don't want to do that, or we come up with a different way of defining what those things are. But today we're given the gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, really, that's at the center of that beautiful teaching. So Jesus says, what is the kingdom of God like? Well, you see it in the Sermon on the Mount. You walk it out, and the Beatitudes are the sort of the centerpiece, you know, the foundation of Christian morality and the charter of the Christian life, you could say, many have written about. And so I want to just try to get through the Beatitudes today. There's a lot of them, 8 of them. So I'll just touch on what they are. Augustine called the Beatitudes the perfection of the moral teaching, the gospel. Aquinas called them the text of the new law, and it replaces and perfects the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. It's the constitution of God's kingdom. Jesus' most comprehensive statement about the believer's role in cooperating with the grace of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the Christian life isn't just commandments. It's the grace of God in us being born again by in water and the Spirit and baptism. We're given a new heart, a new power, and a new capacity in the power of the Holy Spirit to not only desire, but to will and a power to say yes and to follow the Lord's commandments. He talked about essentially how to, in the Beatitudes, how to, Beatitude means what? It's, you know, happiness, fulfillment. How do we reach our ultimate fullness of this life of beatitude? So I'm going to just make my way down here. To be blessed, to be happy. What's the blessed and happy life? You know, every day on commercials and everything gets sold us by the culture. This is the way to happiness. This is the way to freedom. And now this is Jesus saying, no, I'm telling you in the kingdom of God is the way to fullness of beatitude, to full happiness in the biblical sense of that word. So he begins with this, and it's a contradiction to the way the world does things. The first one, I love this. Maybe it's the foundation of all the beatitudes is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Who gains the kingdom? The poor in spirit. And what does it mean to be poor in spirit, right? It's this foundational beatitude. To be able to see the condition of my own life in humility and grasp my utter dependence upon God. To recognize my need for God and the powerlessness that I have before God and my total need for Him. And then I look to God for everything. It doesn't mean I don't exercise my will and my freedom and have dreams and things like that, but I know ultimately that my life is in the hands of God and my life here and my future and everything is radically dependent upon Him. And so it's interesting to see that the kingdom of heaven doesn't belong to the rich and the powerful because they're rich and powerful and those who are filled with honor and the rest, the self-made or the self-sufficient man or woman, but the Lord Himself is our portion and cup. You know, for the poor in spirit, the one who looks to God for everything, right? His leadership, His word, we trust in it, we lean in it. Second beatitude is, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That seems counterintuitive too, isn't it? We're talking about happiness, but He said, those who mourn are blessed. What kind of mourning? You know, we weep, you know, in this world with the loss of loved ones, our own struggles and failures. There's four kinds of weeping in the Bible. Weeping of repentance for our own sins, the weeping of those with those who weep, you know, we're united with them in compassion. Weeping of the exiles who long for their homeland and weeping over the arrogant rejection of God by the world around us. The tears flow sometimes from joy and the experience of God, but also with great sorrow along the lines that we're just talking about here. You see it in, you know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. St. Francis wept many, many, many times. The saints wept and moved by God. So it's really a blessing. We mourn sometimes the condition, our difference between recognizing and seeing still how far we are sometimes from fully giving our lives to God. That can be a great sadness, but a healthy way to mourn. The third is, blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. What is meekness here? It's not kind of weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. It's my life under the direction of the Spirit, moving in the love of God the Father, moving in love of neighbor. And so I receive from God the grace to walk out the first commandment, the life that He's called me to live, right? It's not a sentimental and a weak trait, but it is subduing the desire to dominate and control, to seek revenge. It deals with that deep pride that's in the human heart, kind of calms the wild animals within our own heart, so to speak. Jesus said, learn from me, I'm meek and humble of heart. We always raise up the goats, you know, the big heroes in the world, you know, the guys who are considered the top of their field. And sometimes they're so opposite of what Jesus exalts, you know, who He is and what God crowns. He's meek and He's humble of heart. And think of Our Lady, you know, her lowest state. She was meek and humble of heart. Okay, the next beatitude is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness, for righteousness. They'll have their fill. They'll be satisfied. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and His way of holiness, and all else would be added to you. So there's a hunger to stir the hunger in our own hearts through cooperating with the grace of the Holy Spirit to seek the Lord and want the Lord's commandments and want to know righteousness and want to yield to the Holy Spirit's work within us, rightly relating us to God with our whole being, with our mind, our will, our memory, and our imagination. The next beatitude is, blessed are the merciful, for they obtain mercy. This is the principle of sentiment which inspires God in the work of salvation for us. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Be merciful, he calls us then, to be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. It's miserio, misericordia. It talks about the heart and having tenderness of heart and being moved by pity. And so an understanding also God's ways, his justice, when justice comes, we get what we deserve, but mercy is getting what we don't deserve. And our hearts ought to be filled with gratitude to the Father who is rich in mercy because he forgives us of so much. He pardons us for our sins. And so that merciful heart is toward people who mistreat us, to those who fall into their own scandalous sin. We don't affirm their sin, but we show compassion. To the materially poor, we hopefully are good Samaritans. Those with chronic sickness and oppression, we walk with them in the midst of it all and help them see God. Next, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place? Psalm 24 says, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Hands talk about the action. Pure heart talks about our sentiments. The person of pure heart is a person of one thing, to love God with an undivided heart, single-hearted, not mixed, pure and pure gold, pure love. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to give each and every one of us. It's the Holy Spirit, really, friends, who enables us. God's love has been poured into our hearts, and if we cooperate with him, he will purify and give us a pure love, Christ's love for the Father and Christ's love for our neighbor. The next beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, those makers of peace, in the shalom, to be intact or complete, well-being, good health. And so peace is not pacifism here in this case. You know, Augustine said, peace is the calm that comes from right order. Aquinas said three kinds of peace within us, interior peace, with God submitting to his order, and with others living in good order with our neighbor. That's what peacemakers do. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is the final beatitude and a powerful one I think we ought to really internalize for our times. Listen to this. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who gains the kingdom of heaven? Those who are persecuted. The beatitudes are especially written for persecuted Christians and those who are under trial. And the reasons are unique. He said persecuted on account of the Son of Man and persecuted for the sake of righteousness. You know, they persecuted and killed the prophets. Jesus said many things. He said, beware of men. They will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. For it won't be you speaking, but the Spirit of my Father will be with you. He'll give you words to speak, so don't be afraid. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. But instead, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that comes upon you in this world, but rejoice. If you're rejected because of your faith in Christ, the glory of God is upon you. Friends, we are in this country and in the world, more and more opportunities are coming for us to bear witness to the truth. We don't have to go looking for trouble. Trouble is starting to come to the church, and it's going to keep coming. So remember these beatitudes of Jesus. Jesus said, if you get rejected, if you get reviled, if you get persecuted, if you get killed because of your being united with me and standing for me, the glory of God is upon you, and you will have a great reward. God bless you, friends. Let's walk in the beatitudes by his grace.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.